Turn with me to Isaiah 50. This is exactly how Jesus lived, and this is exactly how you can live. I mean, many of you know this verse, but it's good to be reminded of it again. And all of you who haven't known this verse, it's a wonderful verse in the Old Testament that you must know, that tells you how Jesus lived every day, every morning. Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, "The Lord gave me the tongue of a disciple." That's very important. There are a number of things in this verse. First of all, a tongue that is disciplined. And then I know how to sustain a weary person with a single word or with a single sentence to help a person who's weary. And I'll tell you, the world is full of weary people around us. And you, brothers and sisters, who've been here for so many years, you must have a word to give to those people. Even if it's all of a sudden, somebody just lands up and has a need. Without any preparation, you have a word from heaven. For one thing, you must have the tongue of a disciple. If you've got a loose tongue, always gossiping and backbiting and all that, God's not going to put His word on that tongue. But if you're disciplined in your tongue, you can live a very useful life. And it comes by a habit. And the habit is mentioned in the middle of verse 4. God awakens me morning by morning. That's a good verse to think of. When I woke up in the morning, it's God who woke me up. Or sometimes I find if in the middle of the night I wake up. Okay. And He wakens my ear to listen as a disciple. And I heard what God had to say. And the Lord God, verse 5, opened my ear, and I was obedient to what He said, and I didn't turn back, whatever the cost. Even if I had to suffer, that means I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheeks to those who pluck out my beard. And I did not cover. This is suffering. And the Father spoke to Jesus, accept it, accept it, accept it. They're treating you badly, accept it. Don't retaliate. Don't answer back. Keep quiet. Do you hear that voice sometimes in your spirit? Keep quiet. They're speaking to you like badly. Keep quiet. Yeah, okay. Let them say that. Suffer. I did not cover my face from spitting. Boy, that's a pretty high level to come to. Because the Lord God helps me. Seeking God's help at that time. Father, I don't want to react in an unchristlike way now. And I'm not disgraced. And therefore, I've set my face like a flint. And I will not be ashamed. I will not vindicate myself. Because the one who vindicates me is my Father. So who's going to fight with me? Let us stand. You got a case against me? Come near. The Lord God is my advocate. He helps me. Who will condemn me? Then he goes on to say, verse 10, "Who is among you that fears the Lord like this, that obeys the voice of His servant, and you walk in darkness without any light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God." I want you to go sometime and take these verses 4 to 10, and meditate on them. This is the way Jesus walked, Isaiah 50, verse 4 to 10. Take it. And say, "Lord, this is the way I want to walk." I guarantee you'll come to maturity. To hear. And the word of God abides in you. And you'll overcome the evil one. And you'll have a word in season for anyone who comes to you. I mean, it won't come overnight, but over a period of time. You know, Jesus couldn't have done it when he was 12. But by the time he was 30, he had got so used to listening to the Spirit that he had a word for everyone. And over a period of time, if you're faithful, I want to say to you, believe me, you can have an answer for every person who comes to you in need. Something that is inappropriate. And not just a comforting word, "Oh, I'm sorry for you, sister. God bless you. We'll pray for you." And then you forget to pray for him. Not that type of rubbish. But where you'll have a word in season that'll encourage and help and guide that person to a proper life. And they'll be thankful to you for the rest of their lives. Think that, don't you want to live on earth to be a blessing like that before you leave this earth? I have a desperate passion. Even now I say, "Lord, I want to be much more of a blessing than I have been, and I want to." Because that's why God places us on earth and says, the blessing of Abraham is yours. And the blessing of Abraham is, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to every family that you meet. Boy, I want that. When you hear that, Galatians 3:14, the blessing of Abraham through the Holy Spirit is that you will be a blessing to every single family you meet. Even unbeliever family, anybody. They'll get a taste of something. They may not come to Christ, but they will always remember, I met a saint once. I met a man who knew God. Or I met a woman who knew God. That's the reputation I want everybody in CFC to have. Get rid of all this careless speaking, gossiping, backbiting, speaking evil, passing out opinions. Finish with all that. Have a tongue of a disciple. Say, Lord, some of us have spent so many years of our life. Life is almost gone. Very few years left. Why not do something with the rest of the years you have? Start today. Let the word of God abide in you so you can overcome the evil one. Further, in 1 John and chapter 2, that's how we overcome Satan. And some of you wonder why you can't overcome Satan. You're not letting the word of God abide in you. You're not waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, speak to me. You're not taking a little time off from your sleep to maybe listen to something that will instruct you in Scripture. We have so many resources today, and we don't make use of it. And if God sees, here is a child of mine who's got so many resources, which he can take freely, he doesn't have to pay 1 rupee for it, and he's still lazy, well, I'm just going to leave him alone. I really believe that's what God is saying to about many of you. Because he's not going to spoon feed you forever and ever, no. I hope some of us will take this seriously. Because I'm really concerned that many of us are not growing up to maturity. And then the third stage, fathers, 1 John chapter 2. I write unto you, fathers, verse 13, because you have known him who has been from the beginning. And it's repeated again in verse 14. I know you write to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. That means you have known God, not the way children know God as a father. See, children know God as a father, that he cares for me and he loves me and he takes care of me and he does everything good for me. But fathers know God as a father, that I can be like a father to other people. That's different. A child is not acting like a father to other people, but a spiritual father is one who sees God. Look at the way he cares for me. That's the way I must care for other people. Not just sit back and say, oh, he cares for me, he cares for me, he cares for me. He's so delighted. I must be such an important person that he keeps caring for me. It's like the illustration I used once about a cat and a dog. You know, a cat, if people have pet cats. I don't think many of you have got pet cats, but if you have pet cats, I've seen people who have pet cats. They do everything for them, so many things. The cat does nothing. You know, what does a cat do in your house? I mean, most of the houses, there are no mice running around the house. He just enjoys the food, and he doesn't warn you about strangers coming to the house. Nothing. He just likes being stroked and petted, and food, and the food must be there. And the cat's idea in his mind is, look how nicely my master treats me. I must be God. That's why he treats me so nicely. Now the dog is the other way around. That he thinks not in terms of, he thinks in terms of serving. You know? And it's the master who is God to him. I must serve him. I must protect him. I must take care of him. See, that's the difference. One is just receiving, the other is doing something for, that's maturity. Which way are you? Do you just sit back like a cat and the other people do things for you? Or do you say, I'm a watchman in this house. This dog, I'm supposed to take care of this. I'm supposed to bark if some stranger comes. I've got to take care if somebody's attacking my master. It cares for its master. Respects him. And fathers are like that. They look around and seeing, is there a need here I can meet? Is there somebody I can encourage? Is there somebody I can visit and say a word? Is there somebody I can make a phone call? Because nowadays you don't even have to visit to encourage people. Is there somebody, I've got the phone numbers of the church, I can call up somebody and ask, say something to them. It just cost a few paisa to phone people nowadays. That's a father who's concerned, is always thinking. You can't expect the elders to be thinking of all 500 people here. How in the world can they do that? This church needs many spiritual fathers and mothers.